In a changing climate, a closer look at the tech we're going to need to survive. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. We're continuing our series on how tech can help us adapt to climate change, called How We Survive. As you've heard throughout the week, solutions can involve a lot of things. Transferring existing technologies to more vulnerable parts of the world, updating infrastructure, applying artificial intelligence, and maybe eventually space colonies. Today, we're looking at a few areas on Earth where innovation is already occurring. One big market, risk assessment. Emily Mazzacarati is founder and CEO of the climate data firm 427, based in Berkeley.
We're a firm specialized in helping businesses, corporations, investors understand and integrate projections from global climate models and plan for the physical impacts of climate change.
Her job, she says, is all about big data. The company pulls from more than 40 different models for predicting climate events at the global scale.
Those models are not for the faint of heart, so we have developed a set of tools that extract and process the data and apply it to real economic assets.
The custom models 427 creates can help real estate developers decide what to buy and where, or convince building owners to prepare better for extreme weather. Other scientists and entrepreneurs are thinking much lower on Maslow's hierarchy of needs: food and water. Laura Kuhl is a professor at Northeastern University who studies climate adaptation.
In agriculture, one of the biggest problems across the board will be water management.
She says transferring simple tech like drip irrigation to developing countries or small farmers will be a good start. And then it's all about using tech to tell people when to irrigate.
In the U.S., there's really fascinating innovations occurring in terms of how do we actually use artificial intelligence to do precision irrigation.
And when it comes to water, self-sufficiency is a huge deal in terms of adaptation. So there are startups trying to figure out how to make houses or schools or neighborhoods less reliant on local water utilities. Cody Friesen is CEO of the startup Zero Mass Water, which is harvesting water straight out of the air.
So a source hydropanel effectively takes sunlight and air only and produces perfect water. So no pipe input, no electricity input.
Basically, it's a $6,000 internet-connected panel system that creates water out of water vapor for drinking. Super cool, but it is still early days. And Professor Laura Kuhl notes that tech can't solve everything.
So I guess one kind of cautionary note I would say is that there's a danger of kind of technological optimism that could start to creep in.
Kuhl says true change and true adaptation requires major political and social changes too. Otherwise, the tech won't be available to the people who need it most, and only those who can afford it will benefit. So tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with a longtime Marketplace climate reporter about how this shift toward adaptation isn't sitting quite right with everyone. And now for some related links. So yesterday, we talked about private money getting into the climate adaptation game. And today, we talked about the tech and startups. And the New York Times had a story last week about both of those things. You can find it on our website, marketplacetech.org. Unfortunately, the story is about how venture capital funding for clean tech startups has fallen for most of the last decade because investors don't think there's money to be made there. A lot of VCs rushed into clean tech and solar about 10 years ago. Most of them didn't make any money and they don't want to get burned again. Now, most of the discussion in this piece is around carbon capture technologies, technically in the mitigation category, because they'd either repurpose carbon or figure out how to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere altogether. But either way, it's kind of a bummer. In future episodes, we'll look at how Silicon Valley is reacting or not reacting to climate change, especially considering that the expensive and fancy office headquarters of Facebook, Google, and several other Silicon Valley companies are likely to end up underwater, even under pretty conservative models of sea level rise. You guys are going to want to adapt. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.